Hallelujah. Isn't God awesome? Hallelujah. Jesus left his throne in glory, came down in the form of a child, humbled himself so that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. It's the abundant life of Christ that enables us to experience life from a new perspective, with a new vision, with a new vigor and zeal. And that is because of the life-giving strength of the Spirit of God. And as we walk in the Spirit, as we abide in the Spirit, the anointing of God, he breaks the yokes of bondage. And he liberates his people and he sets the captives free. And this is why living a life in Christ is so liberating. And God enables us to see. He enables us to understand, to overcome the obstacles, the strategies of the enemy. The world is in darkness, but God, he is light, the word of God says. He is light that shines in the darkness. And despite the darkness, no matter how dark it may seem, the light of God is always shining. It's always shining. And it's up to you and I to tap into the presence of God as we apply the word of God in our lives so that we can experience God in a powerful way. Isn't that exciting? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And this is the most wonderful time of the year, right? And so we're all excited about that. You guys all right out there? Hello? You guys doing all right? Somebody break one of your toys yesterday? What happened? Well, we know that God is doing great and awesome things in the midst of us, and we're so grateful to God for what he's done. And we're looking forward to a great new year. Aren't you looking forward to a great new year? And we are expecting God to be faithful again. Again. Hallelujah. And so we are going to start fresh. We'll start new, all of us, with the new year and looking forward to God manifesting himself in our lives in a way that brings glory and honor to Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And so we are called to look to him. We're looking up. We're looking towards the heavens because that's where our help comes from. Isn't that where our help comes from? Do you need help today? Oh, boy, I think you guys need, that sounded like you needed help. Yes, yes. We all need help. We need help from God. God is looking to pour down on us, to pour himself out on us, despite the detours in life. Have you ever been rerouted? Have you ever been detoured? Boy, it's a little frustrating, isn't it? Because it tends to make your trip take a little longer than you would expect. But life may be filled with detours, but God has a way of ordering our steps. Isn't that right? The word of God says a man will plan his way, but the Lord orders his steps. And that means even the detours are part of the plan of God. God has already factored it in. It's not like, oh no, the road is closed. What am I going to do? Well, God has a heavenly perspective. He was looking down. He said, what's that they got going on down there? Looks like they're closing the road. Well, I figured that something like that would happen. And God already has a plan. Did you know that God has a plan already in play? And no matter what you and I do, no matter what decisions we make, which way we go, God already knew it. We were going to do it and has already factored that into the end result. And the end result, the word of God says, you and I win. Hallelujah. He says, in the end, we shall be like him. And that is the beautiful thing about serving God. And so the sermon for today's title is, and then what? And then what? Life is filled with detours. It's filled with challenges. We find ourselves facing opposition, as Pastor Raphael said earlier, it's easy to serve God when everything is going your way. It's easy to have joy and to be happy and to do what is right and to go through life the way you would like to go through it. But what happens when the detours show up? What happens when you run into opposition, when you have problems? That is where the light must shine. That is when opportunity arises to reflect the kingdom of God. And even when others do not operate according to the principles of God or the righteousness of God or do things the right way, you and I still must represent the kingdom of God and stand and do the right thing. And that is when it becomes challenging, doesn't it? It becomes hard to do what is right when everyone around you is doing wrong, when everyone around you is making bad decisions. Last week we talked about you can say anything as long as you're in the dark. You don't have to deal with reality when you're living a life in darkness. You can make all kinds of sounds and noises and pretend to be things that you're not, and no one will know any wiser, because when everybody's in the dark, then everybody is able to believe what everybody is saying because they're all in the dark together. But when the light of God shines, it reveals what's in the darkness. And what it does is it brings the truth of God to us so that we can be the people that God has called us to be. And so the question is, and then what? And then what? And so are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, God, that you would come alive in the midst of us and you would breathe upon us. Holy Spirit, oh God, enable us to hear your voice and follow you, to apply the principles that you have given us in your word so that we can live a life that reflects the image of your glory, that we would be able to be the people that you've called us to be. Pour out your spirit upon us. Enable us to have ears to hear, eyes to see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and doing in the midst of our lives. God, we thank you, O Lord, for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your gift of life, for Christ himself. In Jesus' name we pray, O Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, after we run into these detours and these obstacles that we face in life, there's always the question, now what do we do? Now what? And once we are able to reconcile what's happening with what our direction is and what our purpose is, we can decide how we're going to go forward, how we are going to handle and deal and manage with this situation. Detours are always a challenge, especially if you're in unfamiliar areas. If you're in a place where you've never been before, or you're in a place that you're not sure of which way to go. Have you ever had to take a detour in an area where there's a lot of one-way streets? Oh, that makes it even more difficult, a lot more challenging. And life is filled with its challenges. It's filled with its difficulties. But God is able to direct us. It's the Spirit of God and the Word of God that enables us to experience the directing strength and power and wisdom of God. And we see this in the Word of God over and over again, and especially in the Christmas story, in the story of the birth of Jesus. We see how God used detours in order to get people to go in the way that he would have them to go, to do the things that he had called them to do, to fulfill their calling and their purpose and mission. We also know that Satan is a master deceiver, and it is his job to imitate God, to give people the idea that they're hearing from God when they're not. And he uses detours to keep people from fulfilling the call of God in their life and the plan of God in their lives. But in the Christmas story, we see how both of these work out for the good of the people of God. And as we take a look at the Word of God, we see that even despite the challenges and the difficulties that we face, and we face these obstacles in life that may or may not be our fault. When the road is closed, stuff broke. Fix it later. You can't always deal with things right away. Sometimes you have to take a detour for now until things get resolved. And God has a way of making all things work together for your good and my good because we love God and are called according to His purpose. That is, that we're living our lives as He would lead us and direct us according to His word. And that is why Paul here in Ephesians 5:1 says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." Saints of God, you and I are called to be imitators of God. Not imitators of just random people. We're not here to just do what people tell us to do, but we're here to do what the Word of God says we should do. We are here to imitate God. That is why Jesus came into the world. He came in as a child and grew up into manhood, and He fulfilled the call and the purpose of God so that you and I could imitate Him. We are called to be imitators of God. It is at the very root, the very foundation of Christian living. Imitating God. In the world, we say imitation is a sign of flattery. But also, it is often looked at as a childish game. And it's often looked at as a negative when somebody's imitating someone else. But God gives us permission to imitate Him. And so even as Paul says, be like children, imitating things, we are to imitate God as a child would imitate things. Are you imitating God? I pray that you're looking at the life of Jesus and patterning your own life alongside of Jesus, making your life look like Jesus' life. And we do the best we can imitating the ways of God, the people of God. We find people that are in our lives that we can look to as inspiration in order to imitate God. And this is what God has called us to do. And He has given us many examples in the Word of God, and we see it here even in the Christmas story. And as we look here in Luke chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, it tells us that Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. Well, first of all, I want to begin by first acknowledging Zacharias was a man of God, and he was working in the temple. And as one of the priests in the temple, he was doing his daily duties. And he was fulfilling his calling in life. And you and I all have responsibilities. We all have occupations and jobs and responsibilities that God has called us to. And as we are going through our daily routine, God is always in the midst of us. He is always there. And in this case, Zacharias was going through his normal day when all of a sudden he had a detour. An angel of the Lord showed up, and fear gripped him. Have you ever been gripped by fear? Oh, I tell you, it happens all the time. It happens when you hear bad news mostly, isn't that right? That spirit grips you. And Zacharias heard this word. He sees this angel, and fear grips him. And it says, the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John." And so here we see in this example, this testimony, that Zacharias, he was obedient to God, and he gets detoured,
based on his own prayers. His own prayers brought a detour into his life. All of a sudden, now he is getting an answer to his prayer, and he is grateful. I'm sure he was excited to hear and to know that the angel of the Lord, wow, this is unbelievable. And God tells him to name his child John. He says, oh boy, I get a boy. And so he is excited, and he goes on listening to the angel. And the angel says, you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. And so this is what Jesus does when he comes into people's lives. When Christ comes into your life, when the people of God are engaging and active in your life, we all bring joy and gladness. That's what it means to have fellowship with the saints of God. That's what it means to be able to walk with God, to have a relationship with him. The more you walk with God, the more you fellowship with the people of God, the more joy and gladness will be in your life. Satan tries to rob you of joy and gladness. Did you know that? Why is that? Because the word of God says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Once your joy is gone, your strength is gone, and now you do not have what you will need in order to do the will of God, to be able to follow the plan of God. You will be in a state of mind where it will be very difficult to even see or hear and perceive the things of the Spirit of God, because a contrary spirit will come over you, and that will rob you of joy. Once you lose joy and gladness, then you are in a bad place. And that is why Christ came to give life and to give it more abundantly, so that you and I could have life. Babies, they bring joy, don't they? When a baby comes in, even if you don't like kids, when you get that baby, all of a sudden you're like, well, he is kind of cute. The next thing you know, they rub off on you, and now you're full of joy. And now you can't contain yourself. Now you're like, where'd they go? Where'd they go? Come over here. Come on. And it changes your life. And it doesn't matter who you are, what your situation is. That's what little babies do. And God came as a form of a child, because in the same way a child can bring joy into a person's life, Jesus comes and brings joy to you and I. Hallelujah. And so every day we are rejoicing in the Lord as we walk with God. And so the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, he now comes in verse 26 of Luke 1, and he was sent from God. Do you see the angel was sent from God? Angels don't just go on their own. They're sent by God. They go where God calls them to go and tells them what to do, and they do what God tells them to do. And here is God giving Zacharias an opportunity to do the same thing, to operate or to be as an imitator of an angel who hears from God and obeys the word of God. And so his detour, I'm sure he wasn't expecting to be dumb and not able to speak, right? He was not expecting his prayer that he was praying, oh God, give me a son, to come with the inability to open his mouth. I'm sure we would have said, oh boy, the devil is trying to rob you, brother. No, God had given him a word, and God said, shut your mouth until you do what I called you to do. And this is why loose lips sink ships. Because if you do a whole lot of talking before God fulfills his promise, you can be robbed of your joy. You can find yourself dealing with situations and circumstances that wouldn't have happened had you have just kept quiet. And this is why we trust in God. This is why we're faithful to God. And so when we look at the life of Mary here in Luke 1:26, Gabriel is sent from God to her in Nazareth. And it says in verse 27, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Now let's just understand that this verse points out very important facts that lead us to understand how important God's word is in our lives. Because Jesus was coming through the lineage of David, and that is because God's word has declared it. It is because the word of God has established it. It was God's plan for Jesus to come through that lineage. And here we see that Mary, who was engaged to Joseph, who was a descendant of David and was a virgin, she was the one conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. And so you and I are called to live our lives as imitators of this process. We know what the word of the Lord is. We learn the word. We hear from God, and we apply it in our lives, and we live our lives accordingly. We become doers of the word. We apply the principles of God in our life. And it says in verse 28, in coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Isn't that exciting? And this is powerful because it really helps us to understand our position as the people of God. Here is Mary, who is about to conceive of the Holy Spirit, and she is considered the favored one. And I would submit to you, anytime the Spirit of God comes upon a person, when Christ comes into a person, they are favored by God. Hallelujah. You are favored of God when you receive Christ. The fact that the angel of the Lord comes to you, that the word of God is imparted to you. We know that the scripture in Revelation talks about the angels of the seven churches. And that is the pastors of the seven churches. And we know that God sees those who bring the good news or who share the gospel. We are like angels in the world. And we're imparting truth and life to those who are living their lives in darkness. Those whose lives are just one detour after the other, not knowing where they're going or how to survive or make it through life. They're operating in fear. And when the angel of the Lord shows up, he says, "Do not be afraid." And saints of God, when you're applying the word of God in your life, when you're walking with the Lord, when you're applying the principles of God's word in your life, fear will dissipate from your life. You will operate in a different spirit. Fear is a spirit, and that spirit that comes over you that causes fear is designed to cause you to pause or to stop. And sometimes it is negative because you are in a place where you should not be, or you're in a place of danger for some reason. But it causes you to stop and to pause so that you can look to God and say, "God, give me a sense of direction. Tell me what to do." The whole reason we pray, the whole reason we have a relationship with God, the whole reason we commune with God is so that we can receive direction from God. What's the point in having a relationship with God if he doesn't ever tell you anything that you need to know? And so our whole reason for a relationship with God is so that we can make wise decisions. And so this favored greeting that Mary received is one that helps her understand or change her perspective on her situation. And so he says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, there will again be in this place which is waste without man or beast, and in all its cities a habitation of shepherds who rest their flocks." And so this is Jeremiah 33:12, and this helps us to understand the shepherds of the story. Have you ever asked, why are there shepherds in the story of Jesus' birth? Why shepherds? Why? It's kind of random, isn't it? You know, we're talking about the Savior. He's coming into the world. And then there's these shepherds watching their flocks by night. And it's like, okay, what about them? Why shepherds? Because shepherds represent the promise of God. They represent God fulfilling his word. And here in Jeremiah 33:12, we see that the shepherds are a part of this prophetic word. This is a prophecy that was given by Jeremiah, the Lord gave to Jeremiah, actually. And what actually happened here is that the Israelites were going into exile by the Chaldeans and the Babylonians. You remember, you know the story of Daniel, right? You remember Daniel? Yes, he's getting closer. And so, you know, this is, they were down. They were in distress. They were going into, you know, the Chaldeans were ruthless murderers, and we've talked about that. And these guys were coming. They were going into exile, and God's like, don't worry, I'll be here when you get back. God's like, don't worry, everything will be restored back to the way it used to be. You'll see. In verse 11 or 13, he says, in the cities of the hill country, in the cities of the lowland, in the cities of the Negev, in the land of Benjamin, in the environs of Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, the flocks will again pass under the hands of the one who numbers them, says the Lord. So God is saying, don't worry, you can trust that I will be faithful to you. This is not the end, but this is an opportunity. Trust me. And even when you find yourself taken captive by the Chaldeans, by the Babylonians, when you find yourself taken captive by the enemy, all of a sudden you're overwhelmed by the situations and the circumstances that you're in, we can cry out to God. We can trust in the Lord that God will make a way for us. It is not the end. Our end will be greater than our beginning. Remember, your end will be greater than your beginning. It is because of the faithfulness of God. This is the prophetic word of the Lord. This is where the shepherds come from in the story of Jesus. He says, behold, verse 14, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Hallelujah. And in those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch of David to spring forth, and he shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? God is saying, I am going to turn everything around. God is restoring the way the world was, the way the world is now. He's restoring it back to the way it was at the time of creation. God is renewing things back to the way they were before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. The relationship with God that Adam and Eve had, you and I are able to have through the branch of David that springs forth. That is Jesus himself. He is the branch of David. He is the lineage. The branch represents the lineage of David. And so it says he will execute justice, and it's because there is no justice in the earth. Isn't that right? It's still, even today, it's hard to find justice. And righteousness, there is, righteousness is dissipating every day all around us. Things are happening and things are changing here on the earth. God has established this principle that his word will be fulfilled. God's word will be fulfilled. And if we are faithful to God, his word will be fulfilled through us and in us. We will experience the fulfilling of the word of God. That is, the favor of God will come upon us. That is what Christ brings into our life. And so in Matthew 2, 1, we see this story of the Magi, who is our main focus for today, as we see that though they didn't necessarily have an encounter with an angel, they did have a vision of God. And so it says in verse 1 of Matthew 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, And these magi, they showed up and they were asking the question, where is he who is born king of the Jews, right? Where is he who is born king of the Jews? They say, we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, this is a very interesting thing because these magi, these guys who came from the east, and I know we sing the song about three kings, but the historians tell us there was possibly up to 12 different people traveling in this contingency. And so as the magi were traveling, as they were coming in an entourage. So there was a traveling band of people, and they're coming in to Jerusalem, and they probably ended up coming from different directions, and they came together in Jerusalem because the different regions that they represent were from different directions when you come towards Jerusalem. And so they were working towards Jesus based on the fact that they saw a star. Think about that for a minute. Have you ever looked at stars before? Have you ever seen stars? Have you ever looked up into the heavens? Hallelujah. Well, we're going to turn the lights out here for a second. And we just want to imagine this. Let's see if we can get the lights out here. All right. So, have you ever looked up into the heavens? Have you ever seen the stars? Have you ever looked up and seen a star? Does it stand out to you? This is what the Magi were experiencing. This is what they were doing. These were men who studied the stars. They were astrologers. In fact, the Word of God says, the heavens declare the handiworks of God. They declare the story of God. And in fact, there was a few years ago, actually a lot of years ago, there was a DVD that was produced that showed how the zodiac, you know, the zodiac with all in the stars, that there's actually a gospel message of zodiac type star patterns in the sky. You don't hear much about that, but it fits with what the Word of God says, that I believe you can actually Google that or Bing it and find this story of the message of the coming of Christ in the stars. It's a very interesting thing to see and to understand. It's powerful, actually. This gazing into the stars, God used by these wise men. So these wise men, as they're looking, they're discerning and they're recognizing that this is the star that leads to Jesus. You know, only God can do that. Only God can give you that kind of revelation. Everybody else is looking up and they're saying, wow, it's a beautiful night. They're relaxing. They're enjoying themselves. But there are some people who look and they see God is at work. God is doing something. It's not just pitch black. It's not just dark, right? Now, most of the time, people, when it's dark, they go, boy, it's dark out here. And you hear the cricket sound. I should have had cricket sounds. Yeah, the cricket, right? And we hear all the animals, and people are like, we're afraid of the dark, right? We're afraid. But if you can look up and see the stars, you can see the handiworks of God. You can see the creation of God. You can see the manifestations of God. And these men, they studied the Word of God. These were people who looked. Who were these magi? These three men, these magi, they were from the tribe of various tribes, actually. They were known as the Magos or the Midian tribe. They were of a priestly caste. These were advisors to the king. And the great thing about being a wise man was you lived in the king's palace. You were there to advise the king. And every good king has wise men in his council. Every good leader has wise people in their lives, people around them who can speak wisdom into their life. And no one is better than the advisors that they have around them. And that is why we do so well here at our church, because we have wisdom all around us. Hallelujah. I would be going like this. But we got wisdom in the midst of us. And we got the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And we got the anointing and the Holy Ghost. And we are able to see and perceive and discern the things of God, the ways of the Lord. And so these men were responsible to gain wisdom. That means they studied every possible thing there was to study so that they could have well-roundedness in their lives, so that they could be wise, because you never knew what the king was going to ask, what he was going to need, what he was going to say. And you and I, we also are living in a day and age where we need to have wisdom. We need to be well-rounded in our education. There's nothing worse than being ignorant in 2021, because you will find that what you don't know will hurt you, and it will cause a lot of problems in your life. And so we need the wisdom of personal advisors. We need teachers. We need people who can educate us and help us to come to a place of revelation. And that's what the Magi offered to the king. And so what does the word Magi mean? Well, it really comes from the Greek word that means astrologers or interpreters of omens, one who can actually hear and discern spiritual things. And so these were wise men. The word translates wise men because it incorporates all of these things. And so you and I, we need to be wise men. Wise men are people who are as educated as we can be, so that we can have wisdom in order to counsel people in the ways of the Lord. This is why the Word of God says to meditate on His Word day and night. You and I must abide in His presence. We abide in His Word. And we are understanding that this is where the strength and the power of God comes into our life. We are increasing in God. That is the Spirit of the Lord. This is what we see throughout the Word of God. We see it with Daniel, right? Daniel was an advisor to the king. We see it in Joseph. Joseph came from the prison house to Pharaoh's house and became an advisor to Pharaoh. And we see even in the story of Nehemiah, who was the cupbearer to the king, who was also a type of advisor to the king. And kings had many advisors. They didn't have just one. They had a multitude of people who worked together to make sure that when the king had a question or needed to know something, they had the very best and latest information available. And this is a dangerous job to have, as we also learned from Daniel, right? And they said, if you, and in the story of Joseph as well, if you can't tell me what the dream is or what it means, then you all die. Who wants that job? Anybody signing up? So much for all of the prestige of living and being a counselor for the king. No wonder these guys got a lot of respect. It wasn't because they were so smart per se. It was because they were so daring. They were willing to put their lives on the line. And they were willing to say, well, I'm going to go with the Stars of David. Yes, that's right. You will live today. Oh man. Oh, could you imagine if you get the wrong answer? And this is why David told the advisors that were around him, the advisors that were around, he said, don't worry, when they all panicked because they couldn't interpret the dream. They panicked. And they panicked because they didn't want to die. And they knew they were dead men because they didn't have the answer. They were trying to come up with an answer and some kind of response. And so these wise men, they traveled from the east, and it's believed that they came from Asia and from Africa, different places. And so they came from all around the area, and they were bringing the very gifts that were prestigious or that their areas were known for. And the
gifts of gold came from Africa and from Arabia. And the Boswellian trees were the ones that provided frankincense and myrrh. And so whatever the region is that the kings represented, they sent their representatives, their wise men, bearing gifts from those regions. And so as we look to the Lord, God provides. God makes a way for us. He says, you have gifts. You have available knowledge and information that I have trained you. You have gone through life. You have learned. You've been educated. You've had experiences. So now you can testify of God. You know the word of God. You understand the principles of God, the things of God. Now let's go forth and follow the star. Let's do what God has called us to do. Let's go into all the world and preach the gospel to bring the message of Christ and hope to a lost and dying world. Let's shine light into the darkness, saints of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, we can turn the lights up. And so God has called us to understand that the light makes a difference. Truth makes a difference. God makes a difference. Verse 3 says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And that is because the king was operating in a spirit that was contrary to God. And so was Jerusalem. They were in a fallen state. And the world today is in a fallen state. And that is why the world is hostile towards Jesus. You can serve any other god. You can make up a god and serve him. And the world will respect it. And they will even allow it to flourish. They will even believe some insane, crazy thought or idea. But when you come in the name of Jesus, all of a sudden, they are troubled. They're troubled in their spirits because their spirits are not of God. And all of Jerusalem with him. Isn't that interesting? Not only the king, but all of Jerusalem, even the people in the communities were troubled. This is the condition of the world today. People can operate in a foul spirit, which the world is full of, and they're in total darkness, making up things that are just insane and totally, completely untrue and unreasonable, and yet they get the community, all of Jerusalem, to believe it. And they're all troubled. And everybody's disturbed when you come in the name of Jesus. And so these magi were coming in the name of Jesus. They were coming under the inspiration of God, under the direction of the Spirit of God, as they obeyed and followed the call of God that was on their lives. They were being called and compelled to come to Jesus. You and I are called and compelled to come to Jesus. This is what we also represent in the dark world. We represent the light and the truth of God. Our job is to shine the light, to reflect what it is that God is doing in our lives. As God shines on us, we beam it back. We reflect it back onto the world so that those in darkness can see the light of Christ in us. We see the light of the star. It looks like the star has its own light. But the star is a reflection of light. And you and I, we are reflections of light. Don't let anyone tell you that you are not of value, that you are not have a great purpose or calling in your life. You are one who reflects the light of Christ. Hallelujah. Without the stars in the sky, it would be pitch blackness. Total blackness. All you would hear were the crickets and the creepy sounds in the dark, and you would walk in fear. But when you look up, you see the light of the moon and the stars. When you look up, there is a glow in the heavenlies. Why? Because the light of God is shining, so that even in the dark, there is a reflection of light. This is who God has called us to be. This is what we are fulfilling in our lives. In verse 4 of Matthew 2, he says, gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them, where the Messiah was to be born. This is very interesting, how he gathered together all the chief priests and scribes. And so he sought these advisors. He got these people around him, as we talked about the importance of having wise people around you. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. Hallelujah. And the prophet did write it, and they all understood it. So why were they troubled when they saw the wise men coming? It was because they were concerned about their authority, their kingly authority. It was the King of Kings who had been born. And these kings were coming to give honor to the King of Kings. And so they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, this is what has been written by the prophet. And the prophet said, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Hence the shepherds. The shepherds show up again. The shepherds are there to remind us of what Jesus came to do. He came to be the one that we would be able to imitate. He came to shepherd us so that we could follow him, so that we would be led by him. And he is the ruler who is the leader of us all. Verse 7 says, then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And so here is Herod. I always thought this was interesting. He secretly calls them. Psst. Hey, come here. Come. I just want to know. What time was it when you saw it? What time was it when you saw the star? And he was like, No. I know it was when the sun had gone down and the light was shining. But what time was that? What time was that? I need the exact time. And here he is wanting the exact time. And you know, so often we want a lot of details and people want a lot of details. Don't worry about when you first saw the star. Can you see it now? Can you see it now? And don't worry about your past. Your past is what your past is. It is what it was. It's not your past that you have to worry about. It's your future. Your past does not determine your future unless you're stuck there. So you and I are called to look towards the heavens because the future lies in the hand of God. And so we can trust in the Lord. In verse 8, it says, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him. Oh, I want to worship him too. And I'm sure those wise men probably were like, this guy don't have a right spirit. There's something going on with this guy's spirit that don't seem right to me. And anybody who is operating in the Spirit of God can discern spirits. Isn't that right? You can discern. You know when somebody's operating under the Spirit of God and when they're under the something else. And there's other spirits out there that are imitating God, but it's not authentic in God. And even if you can't tell right away, it's just a matter of time before you go, that's a contrary spirit. That's an imitating spirit. It's not an authentic spirit. And that's why you need Christ in you so you can have authentic spiritual unctioning and direction in your life. And that's what being born again is all about. It's about receiving the Spirit of God so that you can be led by the Spirit, so that you can have a hunger for the Word and for the things of God, and so that you will be able to discern and know the ways of God. The Spirit of God, when you receive Christ, it enables you. And that is why we pray, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. You pray that every day. You pray that all the time. God, give me wisdom. God, direct me. Lord, show me. And God will raise up. He will raise up wise men Sometimes people are used by God and they don't even realize it. Hallelujah. God uses people in powerful ways. They don't even realize it. God will dispatch an angel into your life so that you can hear the word of God. The word of God, it comes by the words of the people of God or even of an angel of the Lord. And it also comes by revelation of God, by looking at the creation and all that God has designed, all that he does. We're able to see, and there's a spirit of discernment that God will impart to us that will enable us to recognize the manifestations of God. And this is why we go into the world and we bring the gospel and we preach truth to those around us. And so he says, go ahead to Bethlehem, and if you find him, let me know. I want to worship him too. And at verse 9, he says, after hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. Sometimes in life, when you're detoured by the king, situations above and beyond your own ability to deal with it or manage it, it's not your fault. Things happen. People do what people do, and all of a sudden it causes a detour in our lives. But God says, don't worry, I have already factored that in, and I will be with you. And we see that even after they were detoured with the king, probably glad that they didn't have to spend a week there celebrating and dealing with all of the festivities that visiting dignitaries would go through when they come for a visit. Hallelujah. Oh, they have a big festive event. And they spent whatever time they spent there, and then they finally came out. But when they came out, the Lord was waiting. The Lord was waiting. And when you go through your situation, when you go through the circumstances that you're faced with and that things that you have to deal with, you may not want to have to deal with it. You may be feeling like you're thrown off course, like you're not going in the way you really wanted to go. You're somehow thrown off. Know that God will see you through. God will be there through it all. And when you come out on the other side, God will be there. The star will be waiting. The star will be there. And all you have to do is take up from where you left off and follow after the Lord again. The word of God says the righteous may fall 7 times, but they will rise again. Hallelujah. The saints of God, no matter what troubles you face, no matter what difficulties you face, you keep getting up. Keep getting up, and you persevere in God. And you too can follow the star to come to the place where Jesus is. The Lord will lead you back to a place where you can find yourself rejoicing with exceedingly great joy. Hallelujah. Verse 10, when they saw that star, they rejoiced. Why? Why would you rejoice when you see the star? Because it's reflecting the light of God. It is the light of Christ. It is showing you that you have made it to your destination. It says God has not left you. God is with you. You are not alone. The Spirit of God is among us, and it enables us to rejoice and be glad. The saints of God, this is why we rejoice. This is why we sing songs of joy. This is why we shout unto God with the voice of victory, and we have praises in our heart and in our lips. We are able to rejoice because the star is there. Jesus is there, and we can trust in him. In Matthew 2:11, it says, after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. And then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And saints of God, you and I have reason to rejoice. When you come before the Lord, don't come empty-handed. Come bearing gifts. Come bearing gifts that represent the best that you have, the best that you are. Let it represent what God has blessed you with and what God has done in your life. Come in a way that you will become a one who is able to bring glory and honor to God, rejoicing, giving thanks unto God, and even falling down to worship him. Not even bowing down. It says falling down. the power of God's presence, the Spirit of God, it'll cause you to fall down and worship Him. One day we will see Him as He is. We will be in the midst of the fullness of His glory. He will have made us to be conquerors, even more than conquerors. Through Christ, He has made the way. He shines the light. He reflects the way that we should go, overcoming obstacles, overcoming all of these detours and challenges and difficulties. And we show up and we stand before God and we fall down and we worship Him. The song says, fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel's voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, night when Christ was born, saints of God, we don't have any problem falling on our knees. We have no problem rejoicing in the Lord, giving thanks unto God, despite the obstacles, despite the challenges. Oh, the question is, what next? What now? What do we do? And we say, we look to God. We look for the light of Christ. We look for God to shine the way, and despite the difficulties, despite the challenges, we're able to trust Him. We fall on our knees and we worship Him. We give Him glory. We give Him honor and praise as God makes a way for us. Verse 12 says, and having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by a whole nother way. Hallelujah. And saints of God, God will direct you so that you can avoid even more troubles, even more problems. All you need to do is allow God to lead you in the way you should go so that you can represent the kingdom of God unhindered. God will make a way for you. God will open doors to you. It says that Herod was planning, we know, to kill all the children 2 years old and younger. And so God says, you don't have to be a part of that. Navigate around it. And even Jesus Himself and Mary and Joseph, they took up Jesus and they went out and they left the city in order to avoid this plan of the enemy, this contrary spirit that was at work in the city. But God, He preserved His children. He preserved Jesus. He gave the Magi the wisdom to recognize that they needed to obey God rather than men. And they followed the plan of God that led to life. So follow the star, saints of God. Allow the word of God to light the way for you as you live your life. Be reminded in this story of how important it is to have the word of God. Even if it's brought from an angel, or if it's brought from a brother or a sister representing the kingdom of God, the word of God is critical in our lives. And let us be able to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying and doing in the midst of us, so that we would be able to follow Jesus more accurately, so that we would be able to be imitators of God. And so verse 6 of Isaiah 9 says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. Oh, saints of God, He is a wonderful counselor. That word means that God is a miracle-working counselor. He is able to bring the word that brings miraculous results. It will change and renew your mind. He is a mighty God. The word mighty there translates one more powerful than a human opposer. One who is able to fight like a warrior and win and be a conqueror. One who cannot be defeated. And then it says eternal Father. That means He is from everlasting to everlasting. He will win in the end. You and I can trust in the Prince of Peace because that's what Jesus does in our life. Not only do we have the peace of God, but we have the peace from God. And you and I are able to trust in the peace of God, recognizing that through the detours, through the challenges, through the difficulties that we face, we are able to overcome as we persevere in God, so that we look to the light of God. We look to the heavens from whence cometh our help, and we are able to answer the question, and then what? And then what? We rejoice. Hallelujah. We rejoice with exceeding great joy. We are able to reflect the light of Christ, and we are able to overcome despite being rerouted, and show forth and shine the image of his glory, prevailing beyond the times. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise, you overcame. Jesus, awesome and power forever, awesome and great is your name.
Today, I know life is filled with its detours, its difficulties, its challenges, but you can easily overcome by following the star of God. Be an imitator of God. Follow the plan of God, the word of God, the ways of God. Let them become a part of your life. Transform your heart by falling on your knees and worshiping him, allowing him to do a new thing in you. Let the word of God renew your mind and enable you to overcome the strategies of the enemy that speak to us and cause us to believe things that are only a hindrance to fulfilling the plan of God in our lives. And I pray today that you know him in the pardon of your sin, that you understand that only Jesus gives new life. He is the Word made flesh. And when you apply the Word of God in your heart through the renewing of your mind, it changes everything. And you will know him. You will see the glory of the Lord all around you. It won't just be darkness, but you'll see the lights of God. A flicker over here, a flicker over there. A little shining of light here and there. Just little specks of light that remind you God is still shining. God is still shining, my friends. And I pray that we can join together in the unity of the Spirit of God and rejoice and give thanks for all that he is doing, despite the darkness being all around us. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word today. And we just ask, oh God, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, use us like angels to go and share the word of God with those who need a detour in their lives. Help us, oh God, to allow the truth of your word to come forth from us, that life may be imparted. Help us, Lord God, to be faithful to following the light, following the star. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Our God is an awesome God, and our desire is to follow him, even through the darkness, by the light of the reflection from the stars. Help us, Lord, to not only see the light, but to be the light. That we would operate in the strength and the wisdom of God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what next? What next? We worship him. We glorify him. And we keep looking up. We keep looking up. And God shines his light upon us for his own glory. So that we can be like him in the end. Well, God bless you, my friends. I pray that God is doing a new thing in you. And if you desire prayer, the altars are open. If you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, please come. We will pray with you. And you can be transformed. You can be changed. Your eyes can be opened and you will see the light of God. And you will never be the same because of Christ who came into this world just for you and me. Well, God bless you and thank you for coming to the Orange County Gospel Fellowship today. Merry Christmas and hallelujah. Glory to God.
Worthy of honor and glory.